What does being set apart mean? What does it mean for us to be set apart? And what does it mean to be blessed? I will tell you, as I studied this week, I have been challenged with the thoughts of being blessed and blessing others. And I think sometimes when we think about blessing, and we think about blessing others or being blessed by God, I think sometimes our minds dip into this idea of prosperity gospel. Our minds kind of dip into that idea of we don't want to go too far. It's a slippery slope. We don't want to be in a place where it feels like that if I do something for God, God will do something for me. And for that, I understand kind of the hesitancy for us to talk about blessing. But I want us to be clear this morning that the Scripture talks about blessing. The Scripture talks about us being a blessing to God and God blessing us as people. God blessing the earth, God challenging and giving to the earth, God blessing us. And so this morning, it will look a little bit different. It'll feel a little bit different. I'm going to actually open this morning with something we haven't done in quite some time. And so we're going to read the Scripture again, but I'm going to ask you not to pick up your Scripture. I'm going to ask you to pick up a hymn book. Okay, I know that sounds different. We're going to read the Scripture. You've already heard the Scripture this morning, and we're going to read that from the screen behind me. But I want you to take your hymn book and turn to 671. 671. So some of you, if you're familiar with the hymn book, you know that I just got past the 650s, which means that's not really a song, is it? No, we're not doing a song this morning, but we're going to do a responsive reading because in the Scripture, I believe that one of the things that I have been challenged by is the fact that God wants us to pray Scripture back to Him. Look, we have these ideas in our heads that I don't want to pray out loud because I don't use the big words that everybody else does. So God, I pray for the transubstantiation of all that is redeemed and the glory of all Christ. We don't have to pray like that. Number one, we can pray with the words that we use. And number two, we can pray God's word back to Him. One of the things that I was kind of convicted about when John and I were in Nashville a couple of weeks ago as we sat with a couple of guys who we really connected with and we talked about church, this guy kept telling us, look, sometimes we just need to pray the Scripture. And when I say that, we're like, yeah, sure, we pray the Scripture, we understand that. But then practically applying that, it really, really convicted me. It's the idea of us, like for me, talking with Angie, and Angie saying to me something along the lines of, Adam, can you help me with the dishes? And I respond to her by saying, yeah, the sky is blue. That's what we do with Scripture. We read the Scripture, we close it, and then say whatever we want to God. And God loves to hear His name and His word spoken back to Him. And so this morning, as we talk about being set apart, I'm giving some tangible ways for us to be set apart and also some simple ways to pray. So some of us might say, I really don't know how to pray. Well, here's how you can pray. Read the Scripture and then say, I read that six verses. How can I pray that exact message back to Christ? And so this morning, if you'll stand, I'm going to read just what it says, and then our prayer will be a scripture in response of reading together. And so, if you will, you can just read from the screen. Didn't want you to shuffle two books too much at one time, but I'll read the scripture again, and then we will do a responsive reading together. Which, by the way, I completely understand that responsive reading is not in the right place. But did you know that sometimes things aren't supposed to be in the right place? And I promise you, God never gets tired of hearing His word read back to Him. Here's what it says. Verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. So they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. We are to be a blessing to God. And if you haven't been in a church in a while that has done a responsive reading, because I don't believe we've done a responsive reading since I've been here in the last 5 years, I'm going to read the light print, and then you will read the dark print back, okay? And so we pray this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. What you just read in prayer form, in responsive reading, was Psalm chapter 103, 1 and 2, verse 8, 11 through 13, verse 17 and 22, and we even did it in King James Version, which you certainly have not had me do anything in King James Version since I've been here, except for Psalm 22, which I learned in the King James Version. Having said all of those things, it's not important. That's the side notes are not important. What is important for us to realize and recognize is that we are to pray the Scripture back to the Lord. And I think this is extremely helpful when we get into a place where most Christians do. We get into a place where we don't know really what we ought to be praying for. I remember when I was learning to pray as a child, I've told you this before, that when I would sit down at the dinner table and we'd do this blessing, I thought that I was supposed to pray long. I thought spirituality meant long, okay? So I was, you know, 4 or 5, and my poor parents, they'd nip it. They got tired. They thought the food was going to get cold because I was praying, "Dear God, bless this food," and I'd look up a little bit, "Okay, keep going," and "Dear God, bless my brother and my parents, and God, thank you for shampoo, and God, I don't like peas, but I know that you made them, so I guess we'll eat peas." It was one of those things. Just kept going on and on and on, because in some ways, we kind of connect spirituality with how long we pray. I want you to know something. Spirituality is actually praying to the Lord. What would happen if all the people of Highland spent time praying to the Lord? And I know that you're saying, "Well, everybody here prays to the Lord," and I also know that that would not be a true statement. I know that there are people in this room that the time that they pray happens on Sunday morning, and they may bless their food once or twice a week, and that is all. And am I judging you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But what I'm telling you is that there is abundant blessing to be had when we respond to Jesus Christ. The scripture that we just read is a scripture that kind of takes the end part of what Nazarites are supposed to do. And those Nazarites, what God is talking about in the Nazarites is he's saying for them to be set apart. And those Nazarites were to be set apart. They were to wear their hair a certain way. They were to cover themselves a certain way. They were to do specific things. And you've not been asked to do that. In fact, in some part, in about verse 19 and 20, we see that when they shave their beard, they're to wave their beard around in a certain way and then throw it into the fire. Nobody's been asked to do that this morning. Nobody's been asked to shave their head this morning. I do it because I want to, not because you tell me to. Okay? Nobody's been asked to do that. But what the scripture does indicate is that in this particular case, these Nazarites were to be set apart. Even when we talk about Israelites, when he says, the scripture says, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites," he's talking about his chosen, beloved people. And this morning, we need to consider that Christians, those who have called upon the name of the Lord, are God's chosen, blessed people. But when you have prayed to receive Christ, that is not the end game. See, God has predetermined what he wants Christians to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about that we are to be set apart, to be holy, to be growing in Christ. If God has instruction for believers, we are to be set apart. We are to grow in Christ. And there's no question that every single believer, everyone who has uttered the name of Jesus Christ, everyone who has accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, you've been given instruction. Not one of us who have called upon the name of the Lord were not given those instructions. And so as the people of God, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the instruction is to grow in Christ, to allow God to continue to the process of sanctification, for you to be made holy, for you to be set apart. And that is the call for every single one of us. And then as we look into this particular passage, I think we're going to see six verbs that help us understand that idea of being set apart. Us being set apart. This priestly blessing, maybe some of y'all have that as kind of the heading in your scripture, or the Aaronic blessing, is a model for prayer. It's the Old Testament Lord's Prayer, really. And it is a blessing for people. And so as we look at that, as we apply that, I think we're going to find some things that maybe shape us a little bit, maybe challenge us a little bit, because we have been a people that have been blessed, and so we try to shun even somewhat those blessings because we don't want to get caught in a prosperity gospel. I give the Lord $100, He gives me $1,000. That's not the way it works. But God does bless His people. And so as we look at this, first, this is a prayer of provision. God provides for all of our needs. God provides for all believers. God provides for His people. God hears His people. He understands the need of His people. And God is providing for His people. The first thing, the first verb that we see is, may the Lord bless you. This blessing here, what we just talked about, what we just prayed about being a blessing, the first verb that we see is, the Lord bless you. Now, again, this part is difficult because we have worked hard in this church to shun poor theology. We've worked hard, even in the Baptist church as a whole, to shun this idea of prosperity gospel. But we're going to walk back to it a little bit today. Not prosperity gospel, but we're going to walk back to the fact that God does bless His people. The scripture talks about God blessing over and over and over again. The word here, blessing, is the word berak. And it's got the theme of blessing. And the first time that it's used, it's used in Genesis 1:28, this idea of God blessing Adam and Eve with the words, be fruitful and multiply. That God blesses us with one another, that God blesses us with our family, that God blesses and challenges us with the people around us. Did you know that you are a blessing to me? Did you know that I should be a blessing to you? That we ought to be a blessing to one another? Because when it talks about in Adam and Eve, the idea of blessing and multiplying, I think that we can take that theme, that idea, and talk about Christians today, how we are the family of God, and how we should multiply the kingdom of God, that we should share the name of God, that we should be bold in everything that we do, knowing that God is using us, His people, to share the gospel. So not only are we being blessed by God, we should be a blessing to God. How are we a blessing to God? By being His children, by being obedient, by praying to Him, and even praying His word back to Him. We are to be a blessing to God. This blessing word here is also to empower or to make productive, even to cause to prosper. Again, the word prosper, that's difficult, right? Because this idea, we don't want to do this prosperity gospel, but God desires for His people to be challenged. God desires for His people to be happy, to understand joy. And God empowers us, not so that we can lord over people, but He empowers us so that we will be bold to share the name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7, verse 11, it says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Some of us want to mark this off and say, well, that's Old Testament, which, by the way, the Old Testament and the New Testament make a complete body of work, make a complete scripture. But sometimes we're like, I don't understand the Old Testament, so I'm putting that to the side. Well, it doesn't work anymore because the New Testament just gave us the idea that God gives good gifts. What does that mean? He blesses His people. He blesses us. He wants to bless us. Just a couple of little things I want you to know here. it is okay to ask God to bless you. Now, when you ask God to bless others, how much more do we learn? I mean, sometimes it's hard to see the blessing and the teachings when it's just me, but when I see that through you and I see that through my family and I see that through friends, I see God at work. God wants to bless us. The second verb used here, it says, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord protect you. This idea of keep is that he's going to guard you, that he's going to protect you, that he's going to put his arms around you. And sometimes when we think about that protection, we think about that guarding, we think, okay, well, that means that God's going to make us safe. I think it's better for us to understand not that our safety is ensured by God, but that our security is ensured by God. That God makes us secure. That when we are a part of his family, we are secure in that relationship. We are secure in the idea of family. This idea of keeping is guarding or protecting. In our context, there's even a secular use of the word where it's the idea of keeping my word. God is in the covenant keeping business. What God has promised, he will fulfill. And there are times in our life where we feel like God may have changed his mind, or maybe God left us, or maybe God didn't do what he said he was going to do. God always does what he says he's going to do. If God says it in his word, you can take it to the bank. God will do what he says he's going to do. And sometimes we have struggles in our life where we don't feel like, God, you're not showing up. God, you're not doing what I've asked you to do, because we don't have a full understanding of the big picture. God is going to protect us, but even better, God's going to secure us. And when he secures us, he guards us, he sustains us. I've had some questions over my years of mission work. I've had some serious questions. And I think about the blessing that we just talked about and the security that we just talked about. And I think about children in Nicaragua, or I think about children in Kenya. I think about children in Peru. And I think about how even in Nicaragua last year, that the places that we went had no real floor. I went into a woman's house who had bad cancer. And we went up to just pray over her. And we kind of went in as a cavalry. I mean, it's like, send a pastor. And so I was making a cold call type visit. We go in, we stop right there on the hill. We have to walk up the mud to get to her house. There, in her house, it's just mud. And there are animals in there, a couple of chickens and a pig. And we're trying to keep that stuff away from us. She's got about 5 children in that place. And we're going in there to pray over her and to bless her. And what inevitably happens is she says that she knows the Lord and she blesses us. And I think about that, and I think, how can she be so happy? How can she be so joyful? Her kids don't have clean water to drink. Her kids don't even have a real floor to sleep on. This is a hut. When it rains, it's got a leak everywhere. She knew that God would sustain her. And what we call blessing sometimes, or even this idea of keeping, where it's the idea of protecting, sometimes we've got it wrong, and we only look through our specific lens. When we pray for those people who are going away, or even when we just prayed for our students who were leaving, I do not want to make anybody crazy. Parents, especially parents who are taking their kids, I don't want to make you crazy. But I'm challenged by that because I know that you've heard about church vans, and you've heard about church buses, and you've heard about accidents and terrible things that have gone on. And I'm saying that the first part of this blessing challenges us to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Leave it in the hands of the Lord. He will bless us, and he will secure us. And so rather than praying for safety, I'm really praying that God keep them, protect them, and most importantly, secure him. This passage is not just a passage of provision, but we go into the next couple of verses and we see that it is a prayer of presence. Now, folks, this is This is something that I'm really challenged by. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you, that the Lord be gracious to you. When we talk about the Lord's presence, what this prayer is saying, what this blessing is saying is, may the Lord be pleased with us. And folks, when I look in the mirror, I'm challenged here. Is the Lord pleased with me? Have I done what even I sensed God was telling me to do? Have I been the man that I need to be? Have I been the father that I need to be? Have I been the child of God that I need to be? The Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be pleased. This verb here is the idea of lifting God's countenance upon us. It's the idea of sensing and feeling and understanding the presence of God. And some of us are uncomfortable with that because, oh, hey, hold on. You've gotten a little bit charismatic there, Adam. Let's back down a little bit. You're talking prosperity, you're getting charismatic on us. Well, that's what the scripture is telling us. It's not me. This idea of countenance, we now know because we've understood in the New Testament that countenance, that idea of presence now comes through the Holy Spirit. And we're uncomfortable, honestly, let's just be honest about it this morning. We're uncomfortable with Holy Spirit. We're uncomfortable with that idea, that process. Because Holy Spirit, even, when we know, we can say it, we learn this in Bible study, that it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we're much more comfortable with big God, pretty big Jesus, and little bitty Holy Spirit. Isn't that a sweet little Holy Spirit? Little Holy Spirit, very sweet. Very kind. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The presence of God in our lives. This idea of God's countenance, even if we talk about Holy Spirit, it's to shine the light on us. This particular idea of shining the light on us is revealing darkness in us. That's challenging. And it's also saying to us, when we approach dark places, we reflect the presence of God. That we are to be light into dark places. And you know what's one of the best ways that you can share your light? One of the best ways that you can show your light? Some of us probably not going to like this. The best way to show your light is if you rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. If you are joyful in the Lord in all things, that's how you can show the light. That's how you know when people are different, when they show their commitment to the Lord in rejoicing. That idea of rejoicing is showing light in dark places. Let me continue. Not only may the Lord be pleased, but the Lord be gracious. This idea of Hanan, this word, this verb form in basically the fourth phrase of this blessing is talking about a disposition of kindliness. God's presence on us, the Holy Spirit in us, reveals kindness. It shows the kindness and graciousness of the Lord. It's the same idea of God being slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who is gracious and compassionate, not wanting anyone to perish, but that all would have everlasting life. You'll discover this kindness, this graciousness, this mercy when Jesus applies this with the woman caught in adultery. The woman at the well. You see the same thing when you see Jesus dealing with tax collectors, prostitutes, and even sinners that the Pharisees didn't want Jesus, the holy man, hanging out with. How did he respond to them? In kindness. Our church should never be a place of isolation, even for us. It should always be a place that includes everybody. Because what people will get here, they can get nowhere else. I want you to think about that for a second. Now some of you, again, I can see maybe the wheels will start turning, but when's the last time that you went to your your office, and you sang to the Lord, and you rejoiced in the Lord, and your light shone, and one of them brought the word of God, and you were all in the presence. When's the last time that happened at work? I hate to sound pessimistic, but when's the last time that happened in your home? Let me tell you something. The church is a place for lost, dark people. And anyone should sense and feel the light and be provided with instruction. Now, I want to make sure that you hear this. It should not just happen here. We should walk beyond the walls of the church and do the same thing every opportunity we get, because when God blesses us, He emboldens us. He gives us power. This is a prayer of presence, provision, and a prayer of power. The last couple, let me just give you those. It says, then the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. The Lord embolden you, the Lord give you power and give you peace. This idea is in verse 26, may the Lord give you favor. Again, uncomfortable with that word. I know we are, but the scripture talks about God giving favor. This is the idea of God giving love, us returning that love, and understanding that in that love, we are highly favored. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that just doesn't seem like good theology to me. I think God loves everybody the same. This doesn't have to do with love. This has to do with obedience. This has to do with right relationship. This has to do with walking with God. God loves people. He loves people. In fact, what we see in Scripture is, even if I love my own child, how much more does God love all of us? But God gives favor. Isaiah 66:2 says, these are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and those who tremble or respect my word. And then finally, the Lord gives us peace. Shalom. I know you've seen that before. Maybe some of you even have that Hebrew word in your home, the idea of shalom. And I think sometimes we look at shalom and we think that word peace, it's like, okay, great, be quiet. God gives us quietness. No, no, no. God gives us calmness, even among the trials and the tribulators and the tribulations. This base denominator is the idea of well-being. It means being in right spirit. When God blesses us, He keeps us. He makes His face to shine on us. He's gracious. He lifts up His countenance to us, and He gives us peace. All of those things we now know as revealed in the New Testament were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the idea of Messiah. And we see this picture of Messiah and what the Messiah will be. When Jesus comes, He fulfills that direction of Messiah. And that Messiah is the perfect Lamb who put on a cross, died for the sins of the world, went to the grave and resurrected from the grave so that we could have victory, so that we could have light, so that we could have peace, and that we could have the provision, protection, and the power of God. I'm asking you this morning, as we read the text, do you understand the necessity of being a blessing to God? Do you understand the necessity of being blessed by God? And I'm sharing with you this morning that God wants to bless His people, that God wants to shine His face on people. And I'm also saying to you, just like we did in Vacation Bible School almost every night, for that relationship to take place, for that relationship to even get us entrance into eternal life with Jesus, we have to admit that we have done wrong. We have to believe in Jesus and confess that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Have you done that? Have you put your faith in God? through Jesus Christ. If you haven't, today's a perfect time to do that. Even as we go to this invitation, maybe some of you want to use this altar as a place of prayer. Maybe some of you are looking for a church home, and we usually do that publicly here. We want to embolden you. We want to know who that is. And if you want to make a public decision this morning, we'd love to share with you how to do that. Maybe some of you feel uncomfortable making that public decision. Take that card that's in the bulletin and fill that out and give it to one of our pastors as you're leaving this morning. We'd love to be able to follow up with you. But we are praying that God do a work in you as we've just sung His Word, we've prayed His Word, we've studied His Word. Now we respond to His Word. God, we pray this morning, right now even, that You embolden us to profess Jesus Christ as Lord. God, that You challenge us, that You help us even to make that decision public. God, we trust You in all things. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.